Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Redden. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Unit Monitors. Now, after all this talking in the previous lessons, we're finally going to start actually implementing some monitoring. And we'll start with unit monitors, which are really the core of the typical health model. I have just a few quick slides to go over some concepts, but then we'll spend most of the lesson actually building some monitors for our sample application. Now here's a slide we've seen a few times now, but we're going to start talking about these data sources in detail and actually start doing some implementations. So each health state in a unit monitor will have its own workflow, and each of those workflows starts with a data source that defines where we're going to get the data for it. When we get to the exercise, we'll actually create some monitors using Windows events, perf counters, and service state. And these are actually the same data sources that we'll have available for rules, so we'll hold off on text logs until that lesson. We'll do that with a rule. We'll do some monitoring scripts a bit later. The scripts themselves really aren't difficult, much easier than discovery scripts, but actually getting them implemented takes a few fairly complex steps, so there are some other topics that we'd like to cover first. Now, in addition to a data source, we're going to need a condition for each health state. And we're going to need to ensure that each of those conditions is unique. We need one and only one to be true at any given time. So the reason for that should be pretty obvious. It's because the monitor can only be in one health state at a time, and things can get pretty confusing if the monitor is confused between trying to set two different health states at the same time. So the condition detection looks at some property of the data source to determine whether that particular health state should be set. So for an event, we most likely have one event number that indicates an error state and another event number that indicates a healthy state. The monitor would pick up the event when it hit the event log, and then each workflow would run comparing that event to its particular condition. It's not as if we only look for the healthy state when the monitor is in an error or anything like that. Each workflow runs every time. Whatever condition matches, then that's the state that we set. If no conditions match, then the current health state stays the same. Now for a perf counter, we'd have some threshold value. Above the value, we set error. Below the value, we'd set healthy. If we had a third state, then we'd have a second threshold, so we could define a range for each of the three states. Now when we create our monitors in a bit, you're not going to get exposed directly to each of these workflows. When we do the perf monitor, we're just going to provide a threshold. For the event monitor, we're going to specify a good event and a bad event. But that information is feeding the workflows under the covers. When we actually create our custom monitors, we'll do custom monitor types later on, then we'll actually explicitly create each of these workflows, and you'll see very clearly how each of those condition detections is set. Now, what about the case, though, where we can't define all of the states? This typically won't be the case with data sources like perf counters or scripts, but it can often be the case with events. A lot of applications will create an event when a problem occurs, but they won't give a corresponding event when the problem's been corrected. So we have no way of determining that the issue has been cleared. Now, in that case, we actually have three options, and it's fairly important to understand what these three options are and the implications of each, because a lot of management packs will actually run into this condition with one or more monitoring scenarios. Now our first option is to create what we call a manual reset monitor. Now with this monitor, the healthy state is never set automatically. An administrator needs to actually right-click on the monitor in the operations console and select the option to reset the state of the monitor. Now the downside of this is that you're counting on the administrator to do this in a timely fashion. If the problem corrected itself, then it may take some time for the administrator to actually see the error, verify that it was cleared, and then reset the monitor. Or they might just forget altogether. Now, you may not consider this a big deal, but if you're tracking SLAs with that monitor, then you can be looking at some significant downtime that you don't deserve. While the problem was actually cleared and the application running properly, operations manager thought that the application wasn't working properly because the monitor was still in that error state. Now the next option is a timed reset monitor. This is similar to manual reset, and they might expect the administrator to reset the monitor when the problem's been corrected. The difference is that we'll automatically go back to a healthy state after some specified period of time. Now that may seem a little strange because we're resetting the monitor without really having any idea whether the problem is actually corrected. The idea though is that after some period of time, we assume that the problem either must be fixed and the administrator just forgot to do the reset, or that we just don't care. So for example, we might set the timer to say 4 hours. After 4 hours have passed, we have to think that the problem would have been corrected or that we established some workaround to get the application working again, and we assume the administrator just forgot to do the reset. Now the last option is not to create a monitor at all, but instead create a rule. A rule will still alert us that we have a problem, but it doesn't change the health state. Now the downside of this strategy, as opposed to the manual reset monitor, is basically the opposite. You can get a positive SLA that you don't deserve. We have a problem that created an alert, could indicate that we have downtime in our application, but our availability is still going to show 100%. So obviously, none of these solutions is ideal. There's really no recommendation that I'm going to make that says, here's when you should use each. It really is the logic of the Manage and Pack author to determine which one is most appropriate for the application and for the support organization that's using it. Now you can get to some more complex solutions, such as creating an additional monitor with a script that tests the application. So for example, an error event might indicate a problem, and then we have a script that runs periodically that can tell the problem went away. We're starting to get into basically some advanced scenarios and mixing our active and our passive monitoring. So none of these solutions is ideal. Which one is used under a certain situation is really up to the Manage and Pack author, taking into account the requirements of the application as well as the support organization that's going to be using the Manage and Pack. Now you can get to some more complex solutions, such as creating an additional monitor with a script to test the application. So the error state might be set by an error event, and maybe a script could be running to determine a healthy state and actually do that reset. Now that'd be a fairly advanced method, and basically a way of mixing our active and our passive monitoring so that we get the negative health state from the script and some detailed insight along with the alert. But the core issue really is with the application itself, because it doesn't necessarily give us the information that we need to do the monitoring that we want. As I mentioned in the last lesson, our Manage and Pack is only going to be good as the application allows it to be. If the application doesn't give us a means of determining that a problem's been corrected, then our only option is to come up with some imperfect solution. So with all that in mind, here are the monitors that we're going to create for our sample application. First, we have some service monitors. These are for our three types of servers that we created for our sample application, and each has a service that we want to measure an up-down status on. Now you can see I'm using the same service for all of these, but remember it's just a sample service that we're using for our fictional application. I think I mentioned this one in a previous lesson. It's the WMI service adapter that we find on every Windows server, and it's fairly safe for us to start and stop for our testing. In a real application, we would expect to have three different service names here for the real services of the application. Next, we'll do a performance monitor that measures utilization of the service on our store server, basically measuring processor utilization just for that service. That one's going to be pretty straightforward, and you'll create a variety of different performance monitors as long as you can use a perf counter. It's going to be very straightforward and similar to the one we create. Then we're going to create a couple of event monitors. First one, we're going to target its store client. This indicates that the client just lost its connection with the store server. When it reestablishes content, it sends a second event. So that one also should be pretty straightforward. Now you notice the event source that I'm using there is event create. And we would probably expect something specific to the application in the real world. So it might be event source, might be stores, for example, for our application. The reason I use event create for our sample, though, is event create is a command line utility that lets us create an event in the Windows application event log. And so it's perfect for our testing. And so we can, if we create our monitor using this source, then we'll be able to go to the command line and create some sample events and actually drive our monitor and test our Manage and Pack. Now the second event monitor only gives us an error event if we have a bad entry on a queue, bad queue entry. Now with this one, we're going to be able to look at some different options, whether we create a monitor or rule, what the implications of each of those are, and we're also going to have a look at how we set the target of a monitor. And we'll actually do some different, use a different target for that event. We'll target the central processor with one strategy. We'll actually target the queue class with a different strategy. And we'll see how that affects both the operation of the management pack and how we need to configure the monitor. So with that one, we're really going to have a look at several pretty important concepts that are going to relate to a whole variety of different monitors that you create. Okay, so here we are looking at our test application that we've been working with and the management pack that we've built to date. Just one quick note here, if you've been following my lessons up until now, when I go into my environment here, you notice that I have new computer names. So I've actually split up central processor, central receiver on two different computers. I've got a store client now, which I didn't have before. And I've got more store servers that are actually named. You know, here's store one, two different servers there, and here's a store two and three. Basically, I just moved my lab over, and it's actually running in Azure virtual machines now, which is interesting. It gave me a lot more space to build some things out. So that'll actually be interesting when we get to a later lesson on the Azure management pack. That'll set us up for that. But in any event, as we start doing health monitoring, this will get a lot more interesting. Makes things a little bit easier to see if we're not doubling up agents and that sort of thing. But of course, if I look at any of these, you can see we're completely unmonitored right now, right? And we show these top level monitors we're used to seeing. We have no monitors underneath it. We're all showing not monitored. If I go over into the computer for this, one of my stores, S1, right there, of course you can see this is a Windows computer with all the management packs installed and all that monitoring that's going on. But of course, for our application, we don't have anything built out. So that's what we need to build now. So let's go over and into Visual Studio. And this is our management pack we've been working with. So what I'm going to do is let's go ahead and start with those service monitors. Remember I said let's do a service. We have a service running on our store servers and on our central receiver and central processor. Now we would obviously expect those to be three different services in a RHEL application. We're going to use that test WMIAP serve just for our little test environment here. Okay, and really just that one service name that you would do differently in a real management pack. So the first thing I'm going to do though is add a new folder here, and I'm going to call this health model. Now remember, our structure here is just for our own purposes. This is our source. This health model folder won't show up anywhere in the management pack. It's just the way that I like to organize things. What I'm going to do is do a new item, and I'm going to do a unit monitor. Let's see, monitor, unit monitor. And this is going to create a template group where I can put different monitors and rules in. So what I'm actually going to do is call this store. So we'll put our store server one in here. Again, just the way that I like to organize things. But what I'm going to do is, let's get the properties of that there. So what I'll do in this folder, or in this template group, is I'll put all the monitors and rules that relate out to store classes. And then I'll also we'll create a central one for the one central classes. So again, you can organize this however you want. So let's go ahead and start here with the target. Okay, and I said let's go ahead and make store server. This is our target class. Okay, and I'll just walk up again, like I said before, I'm not going to talk about every single property, but really just the important ones. So parent monitor ID, every single monitor has to have a parent. I'm going to put this on availability state, and you recognize these are the standard ones we see in the Health Explorer. These are actually aggregate monitors, which we'll talk about in a later lesson. So I won't explain that too much here, but that's what those are. Let me skip, let's go ahead and do this now. Monitor type ID. So you can see here are a variety of different monitor types that we can use, and you can kind of tell by the names basically what they do. Several of these we have documented. Another good way that you can learn about monitor types is actually just go on the operations console to the authoring workspace and just use that UI, which is pretty easy UI, to create some different monitors. And then just have a look at the source of the management pack that you created, and they'll use exactly the same monitor types that we're using here. And you can good idea of the different properties and parameters and that sort of thing. Later on, in a later lesson, we'll get more advanced. We'll actually create our own monitor types. That's when things really start to get interesting and actually quite powerful in terms of what you can do. So what I'm going to do is do this check NT service state monitor type. Okay. Next thing I'm going to do is operational states. Now every single, the monitor type defines how many states the monitor has, and it defines what the names of those states are. So for this monitor type, which is check NT service, either the service is running or it's not running. And we need to say what health state are we going to set the monitor to for each of those conditions. So not running, yep, we want critical. And for running, we want healthy. Okay? So our configuration now, let's go ahead and do that while we're here. Now this is very similar, as you saw before when we did discoveries, where, and I won't go into this too much, we can prompt for what parameter item we need. I'm going to go ahead and do a copy-paste in here. Again, just like I was doing before, you don't want to watch me make a bunch of typos on this. But this is a target property. Basically, this is asking us the computer name that the service is running on. Well, obviously, this is the service that of our agent where this monitor's running. And we're going to look at, we need the computer name for this agent. And so we're saying, go look at the target property of the host, get its computer name. Remember, this is targeted at store server. We define store server to be hosted by Windows computer, and this is a property on Windows computer that gives it its name. Okay, so I think I went to a longer explanation on that when we did discoveries, and so it's exactly the same concept here. Next, we need the service name. Remember I said WMIAP serve. In a real application, we would expect that would be some other name. Okay, so the last parameter we have is something called check startup type. I'm going to set it to false. What this does is it basically says we only want to monitor the service in the case that it's set to automatically start. If it's set to manual or disabled, then we wouldn't bother monitoring at all. I'm going to say false, which basically says I don't care what its startup type is, we want to monitor this service. So, good there. So the next thing, let's set an ID for it. I'm going to do this monitor, store server, service running. This is just kind of standard naming convention I tend to use. First is the element, then what its target is, and then basically a name for that particular monitor rule or whatever this is. And you'll see as we start creating several monitors and rules how that convention actually makes things kind of nice to work with. The display name I'm going to call service running. And this is actually going to show up in the Health Explorer. Okay, so that text there. The next, we're going to define whether or not we want an alert to be created. What this says is whenever the monitor changes from a healthy state to a negative state, to an error state, then we want an alert to be created. Most of the time, we do want that. If we don't do that, then basically the monitor goes to red, but there's nothing that really alerts the administrator to the fact that that happened. So most of the time we're going to go ahead and set an alert. So I'm going to say alert on state if it changes to error. Okay, and that actually says yes, we want to do get an alert when the state changes. Now the alert severity, we can set an explicit severity for it. What I'm saying is match monitor health, and what this does, remember we set our operational states and said healthy and critical. Basically what I'm saying is when the alert gets generated, just match the severity of the monitor. We can do them different if we want. Most of the time this is the one that we use. Okay, whoops. Okay, and the alert name, I'm going to say store server service not running. Okay, and that's the name of the alert that's going to show up. Alert description, I'm just going to say prompt here. We'll talk more about this when we get to event monitors. We'll actually include some variables in here, which gets interesting. But I'll just say the store server service is no longer running. Not too exciting of a description, but there's not a heck of a lot that you can put for that one. If we don't include a description, we'll actually get an error or a warning when we compile. So just to keep away from that warning. Next, we want to define if we want to automatically resolve the alert when the monitor gets reset. So when the monitor goes from the critical state back to the healthy state, do we want to automatically resolve that alert? Doesn't remove the alert, change it to a resolve state, so it doesn't go away completely. We can still get it in our history, but most likely if the problem's been fixed, we don't want an alert staring us in the face that the administrator would have to close. So I'll keep that to true. Now, if the user disagreed, they said, no, I want that alert to stay around, they could create an override, which will be available. So now to make sure that they can create an override, though, we need to change our accessibility to public. And this pretty much you're going to want for just about any monitoring element that you have. You're going to want to set the accessibility to public. Remember what this property says is defines whether this element is available in another management pack. Since we're going to seal this management pack, if I'm going to create an override on it, that override is going to have to live in another management pack. For that management pack to be able to see this one, this needs to be public. Okay, so this should be ready to go. I'll go ahead and save and do a build, just which I always, as you know by now, I like to do just to make sure I didn't make any errors before I move on. And then what we're going to be able to do is do a copy-paste. We have two more monitoring services on our central receiver and our central processor. And one of the reasons that I basically wanted to do this service monitor three times is just to show how we can do that copy-paste and make things a lot more efficient to work with. Before I do that, though, I'm going to create another template group. I'm going to call this Central. And this is just where I'm going to put my monitors and rules that target the Central classes. Again, just my personal preference in how I choose to organize things. I'm going to delete the monitor I created in there because I'm just going to go ahead and do a copy and paste. Okay, so now what's interesting, if you've worked with, you know, other consoles like the authoring console or the operations console, one of the issues that we hear now and again working with authoring extensions is we're exposed to the XML, there's really not a lot of UI and dialog boxes that like the old authoring console gave us, which made it a little easier. Which, true, it definitely makes it a little easier when you first start using it. When you get more familiar, though, and you start building up some different management packs and monitors and rules and discoveries that you can copy from, doing copy-paste and being able to work with it in this manner is just way, way more efficient. If I was in the authoring console right now, I'd have to go back and go through all of the steps that I just did to create these other two monitors. So I kind of wanted to show that off here. So first thing I need to change is the target. I'll make this the central receiver. Okay. Let's see, just checking things I don't need to change. Monitor configuration in a real management pack, we would expect this service name to be different. But remember, I'm using the same one for all of them because we're just working in a lab test environment. The ID is going to change to central receiver. Display names, it still can be service running. That's not a problem. Remember, this is going to show up under the Health Explorer for this class. So even though it's got the same display name as the other one, it's not going to confuse the user because they'll know what class it belongs to. Up here, we should say this, the central receiver service. Oh, I have to go back. I always forget that. And change that to central receiver service. Okay, so we should be good there. And I'll do a copy paste. Okay. And we'll change that one to central processor. All right. And we should be good to go. I mean, we can go ahead. Let's go ahead and build this, make sure all is good. And what I'll do then is actually install this management pack, and let's go ahead and test it. What we'll do is make sure that we get things monitored, and we can go and actually stop a service and make sure that we, in fact, go to a critical state and get an alert. Okay, so let's switch over and have a look at our management group, and sure enough, we can see that things are now actually being monitored. Now, to be fair, I cut a little bit of time out of the video there just so we didn't have to wait for it. In your environment, obviously, it may take a few minutes just for the management pack to get installed and deployed out to the agents and actually start taking effect. But we can see our store servers, our central receiver, our store processor, we now actually see a health state. We don't on our other classes, right? I can look at some of those, and we're not monitoring those yet. Stores will actually see those have to do with health roll-up from the health states that we're getting here. We'll talk about that in a later lesson. But let's go ahead and jump into one of these, right? We can see if I look at the Health Explorer, we can now see that, in fact, we have a monitor running here. It's service running. This was the name that we gave to it, okay? So what we want to do now, we're showing all healthy. Let's go ahead and let's stop the service on one of these. So let's go ahead and switch over to one of the store servers, which I have here, and let's stop the service. Okay, so that's stopped. And we'll give this a sec here. And sure enough, we can see that we go to a critical state for that one. Let's go ahead and open it up. And sure enough, we can see that the state changed. We can look back here, and you'll of course notice I did some testing earlier, so that's why there are a few years. If you're following along, you're probably only showing one here. We should also be able to go to alerts and see, sure enough, that we got an alert for that one. Okay. So we could sit here and play around all we want, but the bottom line, we have that one working. So let's go ahead and now create our performance monitor. So here we are back in our project, and let's go ahead and create this monitor for measuring the process utilization for the service on our central receiver. So I'm going to go ahead and add a new monitor. See, a unit monitor. This is different enough that a copy-paste doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Easier to just create a new one. So my target, as I said, will be central receiver. And it's parent monitor ID. Let's go ahead and put this one under performance. Okay, the others were under availability. In the monitor type ID, this says what monitor it is we're creating. And notice if I type in performance, I just see these kind of WMI-based ones. Not, this isn't the one I'm looking for. I need the one that does that uses a performance counter, which is not in this list. And the reason for that is, if you remember way back in an earlier lesson, I said that all of the elements that you have from the libraries are going to be dependent on which management packs you have references to. And we're basically missing a reference here. So what we need to do is add in... I keep all my library MPs in a particular folder here, R2. This is, remember, 2007 R2 is a scheme we're using. And I want this system performance here. This is the management pack that has all of the perf counter data sources and monitor types in it. So if we look at the properties for this, we can see that it's already given us an alias of perf, which makes sense to us. What'll happen is, for the really commonly used known management pack libraries, will have a decent alias like this. It's kind of standard that's used in different MPs. Other ones may not. They might just kind of give us some initials here, and usually we like to provide a little bit nicer alias, easier to read. So with that in place, now let's go back to our monitor, and let's see if, sure enough, we have a whole bunch more monitor types now available to us. The one that I'm going to use is this consecutive samples threshold. Now what this says is, don't just simply, when you see it exceed threshold, throw an alert the first time. That would be this threshold monitor type down here. What I'm saying is, you know, if the processor runs high on this service, I want to see it, I'm going to say, three consecutive times before I say that we actually have a problem. Especially something like performance or processor, you may have kind of spike for a brief moment and then come back and everything's fine. We don't want to have to go throwing alerts every time something just happens to exceed threshold for a blip. So one good way to manage this is to do consecutive samples, which says we want to see three samples in a row over that threshold, and which point that time we'll assume we have a problem that's not going to correct itself. There are other logic that we have documented, average, where we average the value over multiple samples, delta, where we have a difference between samples, double, where we basically use two different measurements. So let's go ahead. Consecutive samples is what I'll select. I'm not going to set my operational states yet. We'll do that in a moment. I want to talk through some things before we do that. Okay? So let's go ahead and do our configuration. Computer name, we'll start with, which I'm going to, as I've been doing all along, let's go ahead and copy and paste that in. I want to cut a little of this out. Taking longer, sorry. Didn't have it ready. So cut a bit of this out. Okay, and we've talked about that's just a computer name that we're of the computer we're going to use the perf counter on, which is our local agent. Next, and I'm just going to fill these in before I actually provide values, and then I'll talk through them a bit. So anytime we're doing performance measurement with a perf counter, these are basically the parameters that we're going to be interested in, which is counter, object, and instance. And what those are, let me switch over to the server that we're going to be collecting from and take a look at what where we actually get these values. Now ready to go. So here we are on our central receiver computer, and I've got here performance monitor. And this is a tool everybody should have seen on all Windows computers, and we know we can go and have a look at any of the various performance counters that are installed here. So I'm going to look at process, percent privilege time, and WMI-APSRV. That's, of course, the one that we've been working with. And so we notice I can go ahead and add this in, and we can watch this value. We've all seen this work. But basically, this defines the counter, the object, and the instance that I'm interested in. So that's what we're going to fill in to our management pack. Okay, so our counter name is percent processor time. Object name is process. Instance name is WMIAPSRV. Okay. So next, we need to define what all instances refers to is, do we want to sample? There are times we actually want to look at all instances of a particular counter. In this case, we don't. Even though we specify one, we still need to set that to false. Then we're going to say how often we're going to look at it. I'm going to look at this every 5 minutes. Now let's be clear, what's happening here with a monitor is we're just going to sample the value, see if we need to change our health state, and that's it. We're basically going to throw the value away. We're not collecting this so you can actually view it in a graph when you're looking at a performance view in the ops console. For that, we need to create a collection rule. So very often what we'll do for perf counters we're interested in is create both a monitor and a rule. The monitor set the health state, the rule to do the data collection for it so we can watch it over time. And so that's actually something we'll do when we get to rules. We'll go ahead and collect this one in addition to monitoring it. Then I need to set the threshold. Now I can use a scale by here. What scale by says is if we have a very number like memory, for instance, it's very large, I can say, you know, divide that by say 1,000 to put in a number that means a little bit more to me. But in this case, I'll just leave it as is. Scale by is an optional parameter. So my threshold I'll set to 60. I'm going to say if the processor for this particular service exceeds 60%, I'm thinking we might have an issue here. All right. And then I say direction. What this says is, am I interested in the value being greater than, or am I interested in it less than? So greater or less. What this will have to do is when we set our operational states is you'll see in a moment. Okay, I'll specify this. I could say less here and then swap my operational states. And so let's just remember I said greater, and we'll hit that in a moment when we see how we set the states, and I'll finish explaining that. Number of samples, I'm going to say 3. So that says I need to get 3 in a row that exceed threshold before we're going to change the health state. Okay, and we're good to go here. And I'll say okay. So now let's say the operational states. Now notice why I've got a condition true and a condition false. This is not saying did I go over threshold or under threshold. This is just saying was the condition true or false. Remember, I said condition is the value is greater than 60. If that's true, then I want a negative health state. If that's false, then I'm going to say it's healthy. Now, in this case, and let's think about this, because is this a critical condition? And again, this is the point of view of how the author is going to think about this. But when I look, my processor's running high on a service. I don't see any other errors. It appears to be working. If it wasn't working, I might have other errors showing up somewhere else that I'd be detecting. I'm just saying, the processor's running high. I'm concerned about that. In that case, I really would probably go for more of a warning threshold here. This, we might have our notification set, for instance, when we get a critical, we're going to fire off notifications to administrators. Warning might just be something that they review when they get a chance. Kind of the general rule of thumb we tend to say is something should only be critical if somebody should be woken up in the middle of the night. And chances are this probably isn't something that we would do. It might be something that's leading to some bigger problem, in which case we would hopefully have some other monitor or rule or something fire some actual error that's occurring. So in any event, I'm going to set this to a warning state. Okay, and then let's set our other values here. I'll call that web central receiver dot processor. Okay, the display name, I'll call it service processor utilization. Remember, this is what's going to show up in the Health Explorer. Okay, category, I'm going to change that to performance health. Remember, our alert severity, I'm just going to match the monitor health, so we would expect a warning alert to get fired. And the alert name, I'm going to say central receiver processor exceeded threshold. I'll say something like that. And if I don't set a description, I'll get a warning. So exceeded threshold, let's say, of 60% for 3 consecutive, gives a little bit more. A little bit more description there, okay? And then yes, I'll set it to auto-resolve, and remember, I need to have the accessibility public. So let's go ahead and save that. Okay, oh. Okay, so this is actually telling me we missed something here. It says monitor will not generate an alert unless we set a proper value. Okay, so this makes sense. Well, I could pretend like I did that on purpose. I didn't, but it gives me a chance to talk about it, which is interesting. So what's happening here is we've set some values for the alert, saying we do want, obviously, we want an alert when we exceed the threshold here, but I didn't set a state to alert on, right? So this is saying if it hits a warning state, if I have none, what this is saying is this is not going to fire. You're not going to get an alert with this one. If I set error here, I wouldn't get one because it doesn't match. Now, you might think, well, why would you even have to set this? It's obvious we only got two states. It's obvious the warning state that I'm going to fire on. You may have a three-state monitor is the answer for that. And so you might have it might hit a warning. I don't want an alert on that, but only when it goes to a critical do I want to fire an alert. So that's the reasoning for that. So that was a good warning for us. And let's go ahead and build this and just make sure we're all working properly. It's not really something we're going to be able to do testing on, as you might imagine, running the processor high, but we can at least get this installed and have a look at where it is in the tree. So that's good. And I'll go ahead and install it. Okay, so that installed, let's go over to our operations console and let's make sure this thing is actually installed and working. So here we are in our operations console. We now have this Manage and Pack installed with our update. Central Receiver is the target that we used. So if we open this up, and we click Health Explorer here, sure enough, we see under Performance, we see our service processor utilization. Now, like I said, I don't really have a way in the lab here to go and drive that processor up. Basically to get it to fire, I guess you'll have to take my word for it. We'll do a lot of playing with that in a moment when we do event monitors. But just quickly to point things out here, if you look at the state change events, remember condition false is the one where we said we were going to put for the healthy state. And if we hit condition true, then we go ahead and go to warning. And so basically this is saying what all monitors do when they first install, they essentially start themselves initialize at the healthy state, which in this case is condition false. So in any event, that's our performance monitor, and let's go on, let's do some event monitors. Okay, so let's look at our event monitor now. So the first one we're going to do, remember we're going to do two event monitors that I said. The first is actually going to be on our client. This is basically saying that the client can connect to its local store server. And I said there that if we get an event with a event number of 301, then it indicates we had a problem, it was unable to connect. A 302 says it's successful and it was successfully connected and we should go ahead and clear the error. All right, so let's go, I'm gonna put in stores because this is on the client that lives in the stores. And let's go ahead and add a new template here, unit monitor. Okay, my target I will set to store client. Parent monitor ID will say availability. And the monitor type. Now we can see quite a bit of events. Again, they're just kind of like performance. There's a lot of different types of logic where we do missing events and correlate multiple events and the whole bit. In our case, we're going to use this one here, which is a two single events for two state alert. You can see we also have three state and, you know, three different events, and here's a two events that gives us three states with one of them being a manual reset. But in this case, this is a pretty straightforward two events, two health states. Okay. So we're going to say here is for our operational states, first event, second event. I'll go ahead and set this now as opposed to doing the configuration first. If the first event is raised, and we'll specify our difference here in first and second when we do the configuration, I'll say critical. Second event is healthy. And remember our performance when we sent to warning, this one makes sense to set to critical. I mean, this is basically a client can't connect to the store server, so that we would consider that a pretty major event. So then we go to our configuration. And as usual, we expect to see computer name, which what is the computer we're going to get the event from. Now you notice it says first computer name here. What this is, basically we're going to set up the computer and the criteria for each of the two events. Technically speaking, you could have a monitor where we got an event from one computer for one event and an event from another computer for another event. Not done very often at all. I really can't give you an example of when I have done that before. So, but in any event, we need to set up all the basically the details for our first event and our second event. First log name, this is going to be from the application event log. And then we're going to see our first expression. Now I'm going to paste this in and then I'm going to explain it. And a couple things that I want to explain about this. So first off, before I even explain the details of what this is saying here, you may be looking at this saying, okay, you know, wow, just for doing a straightforward event monitor, I have all this XML I'm going to have to go and type and this is going to get really complicated. Not really. I mean, basically where I got this from, if you go into, and I mentioned this before, if you just go into the operations console, go to the authoring node, create an event monitor, you can see, you know, simple UI to create an event monitor just like I'm doing here. Just do that for some sample and some empty management pack, export the, and this is exactly the XML that you're going to be looking at. Again, kind of nice to have that UI, being able to click through, not having to know all this syntax. On the other hand, this I can copy paste in. I mean, you know, we're going to do another event monitor next and I can do copy paste amongst those, and it actually does get a lot more efficient. While more complex certainly the first time and might get a little bit cryptic sometimes, definitely much nicer to work with when you really get into development mode. But in any event, you can see this, basically I'm encasing these in an AND, which says both of these expressions need to be true for us to get a true result. And what I'm saying here is the event number, which is the event display number, is 301. And its publisher name, which is also the event source, is event create. Remember I said I'm going to use event create because that's a command line utility that I can use to create some sample events. All right, and so pretty straightforward for us in a testing environment. We would obviously expect that to be some other value in a real management pack. I'm going to say that again because I did that little expose my bar there. We would expect that to be some other real, say that again. We would expect that to be something else specific to the application in a real management pack. So then the next thing we need to do is define our second expression. And I'm going to do this. Well, I'll tell you what, let's kind of do this here. As opposed to copying the whole thing, I'll say second computer name, second log name. I'll go ahead and type that in because that's just application. And second expression, sorry, let's scroll that up. Okay, so the computer name, I'll just go ahead and copy paste from here because it's the same one. And the expression is usually going to be really similar. My case, the only difference, that should be 302. They're almost always going to be from the same publisher. It's usually the same application as generating the positive and the negative event. So, but there are certainly other different properties on the event that you can use as well. And I'll actually, we'll see some of those in a moment. We talk about the alert description that we're going to want on here. And we've got those well documented as far as the different properties on events that you can use. So this is good to go. Let's go ahead and OK there. All right. So I will call this monitor.storeClient.connectionToStoreServer. Display name, I'll make connectionToStoreServer. That looks good there. Alert severity, I'll leave. Alert on state, which we forgot last time. Let's go ahead and error. And name, I'll say client lost connection to store server. Now in this case, we say, you know, I'll go ahead and set that to public now. I say, well, the alert description, you know, the event, I'm expecting to include some pretty interesting information for me. And so that, why don't I just take the description of the event and put it in the alert description? That makes a lot of sense. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to paste something in to our alert description. Now this will look a little bit strange to you. The data and event description should make sense. You know, okay, that's a data variable because, you know, the event's coming in, that's our data. I'd like to pick some property off of that and include it in my alert description. And it makes sense, event description, that sounds logical. But what's that context thing in there? And what that is I'm going to go ahead and OK here. What that is, remember when we have an alert, and we'll see this more when we get into how workflows actually are built. But when I'm looking at criteria where we used event description, where we used event number in the event source, that's basically just reading the data. The alert is not responding actually to the data. It's responding to the health state change. So the data is a little bit different when it comes in there. So whenever you're setting the alert description, usually you're going to see that word context in there. And just to show you, because I know that sounds a little bit cryptic, let me show something here actually in our documentation where we have that information. So this is actually the Management Pack Authoring Guide, which is out on the TechNet Wiki. And this is a topic called Alerts for Monitors, which is exactly what we're doing. It talks all about how we do, how monitors are generated from alerts and how you configure them. And you can see right here, we go through, here's Windows Event Monitors, all the different types, WMI events, text logs, perf monitors, scripts, which we'll do later on, and how you're going to format that. So for instance, the one we're using is right there. Data context, event description. If you're going to get a parameter, we show that. All sorts of other different properties that come off the monitor, and we're showing how you include those in the alert description. So, and again, like I mentioned before, if you go into the operations console and do some, kind of use the UI in there, and there actually is some UI that will let you do some data selection of properties with a dialog box, and it'll actually paste in the right syntax into the alert description. So that's another way that you can start to learn what those are. All right, so this one should be working. Let's go ahead and do a build there and make sure we're okay. And Let's go ahead and install it. So let's have a look at our central processor here. And we're not here yet, so let's just give it a moment and should be able to do a refresh and see that show up. So now let's go over to our store clients, and I have a store client now, and we can see, sure enough, it is being monitored. We have at least one monitor on it. And if we look at availability, we can see connection to store server, and we of course initialize that to healthy. But what let's do some testing on this one. We can jump over to my client. Let's actually generate an event and get this to go to a critical state. Okay, so here we are there. So what I'm using here, I just have, you see the event log up, I'm on a client, and I'm going to use this event create utility, which is on any Windows machine. You notice if I just do /?, that gives me the basic syntax. So I'm going to say event create, and I'll set that as an error, which makes sense, ID 301, which was our error state. Create that in the application log. And it, I believe it actually does require, we don't really need an event description here, but I think it requires one. Actually, let's, now that I think of it, we actually included that in our alert description, so let's make sure that's working as well. Client lost connection to server. Actually, let's make this interesting because I call this BW client 1. That way we just have some nice specific information there, which makes sense. Okay, so we can see we've got that in here. Let's look at our application log here on the local machine. Sure enough, here we can see it got created. Okay, there's our description that we had. So let's see, hopefully that we got an error state from that. And sure enough, there we go. So we see connection to store server. It takes a second for that to roll up. That will all go red in a moment, but takes a second for that all roll up. Let's go look at our state change event here. Sure enough, we could see first event raised. We see that we have the error state. This is fairly interesting. If we look here, this is actually the event data we can see coming through. You can actually, you know, get a little bit of detail here. There's our description that we brought in, the event description that drove that. Let's go have a look at, make sure we got our alert as we would expect. And sure enough, we can see there's our alert, and we can see our alert description right there that we included from the event description. So that's all working well. Let's just to make sure everything's going good, let's go ahead and let's send it the next event that hopefully clears that error. Okay, so remember I said, so let's see, I'll call this the type. Notice the valid type success is the type that I'm gonna want. Really wouldn't matter. All we're going to look for is a 302. I could still set that as an error event, and it would still clear it because we didn't look at the severity of the event, which you can do. And just to be complete, it's just testing, so it doesn't matter. But let's just be complete. Okay, so 302. Let's go here and have a look. Okay, that looks good, so hopefully that cleared it. Okay, so let's do a refresh. Didn't even have to, it basically refreshed on its own while I was sitting there. So sure enough, the alert went away, because remember we said yes to auto-resolve the alert. And if we do a refresh here, sure enough, we're back to healthy. So if I look at the Health Explorer, we can see that, in fact, we went from, there's our first event raised, there's our next event raised. Okay, so this one's working well. The next one now that we want to create is we have that other event where we're going to do a manual reset, and as I mentioned before, this one's relating to queues, and we want to do a little bit of playing around with this one. We're going to try some different things and look at the effect. Okay, so now we have the last monitor that we wanted to create, which was to indicate that we have a bad queue entry. Now let's talk about this one a little bit before we actually go and create it. And as I mentioned before, we don't have another event to tell us when we have a healthy state. So as I talked about in the slides, we basically have three options: manual reset monitor, timer reset monitor, or a rule. Now, in this case, really, I won't worry about timer reset. I'll just do manual reset for now, which is what we're going to create because we're working on monitors now, not rules. But just talk about basically the logic that I most likely use here. So in this pretend application, what we said is basically orders get written to a bunch of individual queues. And then this processing service picks up each order, processes it, and puts it in the database. So what this event is an indication of is that we had a bad entry, one that maybe is junk data or something that couldn't be processed. So the logic that I'd most likely take is, if that condition were such that basically I have a bad entry, the processing service would just move on. Say, okay, I have a bad entry, let's mark an event for it. I can't process that, but I'm going to go ahead and keep processing other orders. If that were the case, I most likely would just create an alert rule. Just say, a rule, fire an alert, don't change health state. And the reason for that is that if we think about it, the service is still working, right? I mean, orders are still being processed. We had a bad one, but we can't really say that we have any downtime or that we have something that's not operational. So I'd probably just want to alert administrators to the problem, but not create a monitor in that case. However, if we said, you know, when we get a bad queue entry, basically the processor gets stuck on it. It essentially says, I have a bad entry, I can't move on until you clear this problem. In that case, we absolutely do have downtime because orders are not being processed. The component of the application isn't doing its job. So in that case, I really would want to monitor. Now, what I'm going to do then, if we remember, it's the central processing service that's doing this work. And so what I'm going to do is create a monitor targeted at the central processor. Now, what we'll see in a moment, let's get this one created, and then I want to talk about actually changing the target and targeting the queue classes themselves. So I'll kind of talk about the logic that we might use for that. But let's get started on this. What I'm going to do, just remember we have those kind of big condition in the all the XML for the configuration of the monitor type that we had to do last time. So I'm just going to go ahead and copy that other monitor that we just created. We're going to change around pretty significant amount of this stuff, but still give us a good start on it. So I'll say the target we're going to change to our central processor, which is right there. Now the monitor type that we're going to use is this here, which is the single event log manual reset two state monitor type. So basically this is two states. We're going to get the error state from an event and then have to manually reset. If I wanted to do timer, I'd select that one there. Okay. So let's check our operational states. In this case, when the event is raised, I'm going to go ahead and set that to a critical because in this case, our processing service isn't processing orders. That sounds like it would be a pretty critical problem. So our manual reset, we're going to say that's going to send us to a healthy state. Okay, and that's actually not anything that's going to happen. That's going to be me as the administrator performing a manual reset. Now the configuration here, this I'm going to have to remove some things. So basically, I'm going to take out, remember before we had two events, so we had to have two expressions. So I'm going to pull those out. Okay, and as it turns out, the rest of it is really pretty similar. If we do here configuration, let me just to show, so I can kind of show my work here. If you notice, the first thing it wants is computer name. Okay, so what I'm going to do is take out first there, and maybe this is a little bit of a strange way of doing this, but I just want to show how even though some of the names have changed because I had first log, second log, it really is the same configuration. Then it wants a log name. Okay, well, let's just go and take this out. Okay, so really just trying to illustrate how similar these are even though the parameters are named a little bit different. And then it wants our expression. Okay, so what I'll do here is just go and I'll copy this expression out. Okay, take that out and then drop my expression in there. Okay, now this needs to change a little bit because we're going to change this. Remember I said if it's an event 201, same publisher name, event create. And we only need to specify the one event because, of course, there is no second event because that we're going to have to do our own reset on. All right, so we should be good there. And so let's go ahead and change the other things that we need to. So this is going to be monitor. We'll change that to central processor. And we'll call it bad queue entry. Okay. Display name. We'll call queue entries. Now we might even call this, and you think about it, this is what's going to show up in the Health Explorer. Okay, I'm going to call this queue entry. I'll call it queue entries. Kind of makes sense. Our queue entries healthy, so to speak. I mean, we might even say, you know, processing or something like that, something descriptive for what we expect this to be doing. So in any event, I'm going to say the health of the queue entries is good. If this goes red, it means we have some bad entry. So just trying to provide some decent description there. Okay, and then for the alert name, I'll call that bad queue entry. And then for the alert description, I'm going to keep that the same, which basically says just bring in the description from the event. We expect that when the application generates the event, it's probably going to put some fairly interesting, you know, which queue, which entry. It should put that in the event description. All right, so we should be good here. Let's go ahead and save. Let's do our build, make sure everything's fine. Then we'll go ahead and install this one. Okay, let's go ahead and install. So let's go have a look at our central processor. And I'll look at Health Explorers. And so we see queue entries there. Now it's not green. It'll get green in a moment. Basically, I just got here too soon. It's just going to take a minute for it to, oh, there we go. Now we're green. Just takes a minute for it to initialize. So now with that showing healthy, let's go over to our central processor and let's create a test event just like we did on our client, and let's have a look and make sure this is working. Okay, so here we are on the service acting as our central processor. So event create, let's just take a quick, just remind myself of the syntax here. So I'll do event create, error, the ID we said was 201, application log, and I'll say bad entry in queue, I'll say S2. Was the queue we were interested in. Okay. Oh, little mistake there, no big deal. There we go. Okay, so we should have an error event. Let's have a look here. Sure enough, we do. Okay, bad entry in QS2. Okay, and so let's go over and have a look. Hopefully we have a bad monitor now. Okay. So let's do a refresh. Sure enough, okay, great. This went to red. Should see our state change here. We see bad entry in QS2. And if we scroll up to our alerts, sure enough, there's our bad queue entry and bad queue entry in Q2. Okay, in QS2. Now, as I said before, there's no point in doing a second event. We don't have one that does a reset. So what the administrator would have to do in this case is to basically go here to the Health Explorer, open this one up, and say reset health. Okay, and this is going to force it back to green. This actually makes sense sometimes. I mean, maybe you say, look, this is something that is going to require an administrator to get involved, and so they'll go ahead and they'll do the manual reset when they determine the problem's been cleared. But in any event, I think we've been through all that. So this one should now be back to green, okay? And we are. But now let's talk about this. So in this case, we have classes that we built for our queues, and the queues are going unmonitored right now. So the logic that I just used, though, is I basically said we have an error at the central processor level. The processor is not processing queues. Now that would make logical sense if the case were when we got a bad queue entry, basically the processor would just shut down. It wouldn't process from any queues. But what about the case where we said if we get a bad entry, it only stops processing from that queue, but it will continue processing the other ones? So in that case, it would really be a little more catastrophic to show that we have an error up here at the processor level. I would say we're not processing any orders for anyone. In that case, we really, I said S2, this is the one we want to go red while the others stay green, right? I mean, you can think about, for instance, SQL database, which is an example I've obviously used a bunch in other lessons, where, you know, one database runs out of space, for instance. We just show that database red. We don't show an error at the whole database engine. So let's have a look at that and look at some of the implications, because this actually is going to bring up one other challenge we're going to have to deal with. So let's go here back to our same monitor, and what I'm going to do is change this target to Q. Okay, because we think, well, then let's attach it at the Q level, so that way I get the Q to go red, but not the server. I can choose to roll up the health, and we'll talk about health rollup in a bit, but this, at least this way, I just have one Q as red and the others are green. Now, first off, I'm full disclosure, I'm expecting to get an error in a moment when I do this build. I'll go ahead and let it get the error and then explain why I did. Okay, remember, all I did so far was just change the target. Sure enough, and what this says, I think we may have seen this error probably when we were doing discoveries, is basically it said it had a bad host reference in that target host property. Okay, this makes sense. If we think back, if you remember when we were doing discoveries and talking about classes, we learned all about hosting objects. Remember, this here is the name of the computer we're running on. When we are targeted central processor, its host is Windows Computer. Okay, but in this case, we're targeting the queue. So it's the queue's host's host. Okay, right now this just resolves up to central processor. If we add one host to it, then we resolve up to Windows Computer. So just a little bit more review, because we actually already talked about that. Like I say, I think we generated that error before. So let's do a quick rebuild here, make sure that this is in fact proper. Okay, that looks good. So let's go ahead and install. So let's go over, let's just assume that that worked. Well, no, let's go over and have a look at it first. Okay, let's just make sure it's attached at the right spot. Remember, it's going to take a moment for it to show as monitored. But we should at least, okay, so there it is. We actually see this now on the queues, and it should show up on each one. And I just went over to it a little bit early. If we gave it a minute, it'll show up as monitored, just a matter of waiting that. But let's go ahead and go over to the store server. Okay, so now we can see we are, in fact, showing as monitored, so the monitor went ahead and got initialized. So let's go back to the central processor and let's regenerate that same event and let's see what we get here. Okay, so let's say it's exact same error that we're trying to simulate. So let's just see, sure enough, same event that I just did. Now this is fairly interesting though. So it looks like it's working, but all of these went to red. Okay, and this is actually exactly what I expected to happen. But this is not what we want, because this here, S2, that's the one we have a problem with. Why are they all going red? And if you think about the criteria we gave, we just simply said the source or the publisher name of the event, which we said was event create, and we gave it an event number of 201. Now remember, when we install a monitor, rule, or discovery, or any workflow, remember back, I think talking discoveries, I said that we are going to get an instance of that workflow for every target object. We have three target objects here, so we're going to get a separate instance of this monitor for each one. All three of those happily said, I see an event, it matches the criteria I have, I'm going to go red. We don't have anything in our monitor that tells us which of these queues that this event was related to. So we basically need to go back in and add some of that criteria. So let's just go ahead here and quickly and just show really one of the downsides that we can get of manual monitors. Manual resets is what I'm doing now. you have to go and reset all of them. This is a way that the, I think I messed up on the other one. This is when the timer reset can be nice because it takes care of it for us eventually. The other thing you can actually do is write a script in PowerShell that can do that reset. But usually it's only when you have a management pack that wasn't written properly or make a mistake, basically like I just did. So, okay, so we're all reset there. Okay, so let's go back now and let's have a look at the criteria that we actually need. Okay, so let's go back in here, and really all I'm going to have to do is change some of my configuration. So we've set our criteria here is just display number 201, publish name event create. Now, general rule of thumb that you can keep in mind, whenever you have a monitor rule that targets a class that can have multiple instances on an agent, you're most likely going to have something in the criteria that uses a property of that target. And what I mean by that, let me paste this in again just so I don't make any silly errors. Basically, I'm just going to add a third expression here. Now what this says is the event description. Remember when we created the event, in the event description, I put which queue was the one that went bad. So that's the information that we need, but we have to include that in our criteria. So I said the event description contained substring, and then I brought in the store code property on the queue. Remember, the queue class is our target object. It has a property for store code. So what I'm saying is there is an event that I'm interested in. It has the right source and number, but I only want this if I can see the event in the store code for my particular instance that I'm targeting against in the event description. Okay? Now, a little bit of disclosure here. Usually we try to use parameters instead of event description. The only reason I'm doing description here is because event create is simple. I can't create a value in an event parameter. Usually in real applications, and just best practice when an application is creating events like this, it'll put this interesting detailed information into an event parameter. So very often that's what you'll see used here. But it's exactly the same idea. We just need some property of the target object that we're comparing to some property of the data. Okay, so now with that in place, let's go ahead and do our build. Reload that, and then really, hopefully, we'll get exactly the behavior that we're looking for. Okay, and install. Okay, so let's go back over and generate that event once again. Okay. Just make sure, yep, there it is. And so here we can see this is exactly what we wanted, where we have just the S2 queue shows as critical, the other two are healthy. And if we look here, let's just really drive home this point. The reason for that is we've now included in our criteria, we're looking at this event description here. So it saw this S2 in there, okay? And just to finish things up, let's have a look at the alerts here, and sure enough we just get the S2, the bad queue entry. So hopefully that really, I'm trying to illustrate a few things here, which is really when you want to decide between a monitor and a rule, as well as which target makes the most sense to put your monitor on, where the health state best is implemented in terms of which class, and then also the implications of that as far as your configuration, remembering that if you have a class that's only going to have a single instance, you can use pretty straightforward criteria in your configuration. If you're going to have a target, though, that has multiple instances, then we're going to have to use something in that expression that looks at the property of the target object. So that concludes a fairly long lesson, I think, but hopefully a lot of good information in this one on creating monitors. And what we'll do next is start creating some rules, which are actually very, very similar, use certainly a lot of the same data sources. And then we'll actually do some health roll-ups and roll up our health between classes. And then, of course, move on to the interesting stuff and start getting into doing scripts.